God loves people and he wants to help them by warning them. So would you join us as we ask God's blessings to be with us? Gracious, eternal God, our Father, hallowed would be thy name. Today, we need your help. We ask that you would bless the spoken word and visit every heart and provide the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We invite your help. We need your help. And we ask you, Lord, that you will bless all the way through this message and service. And we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. We who live in Oklahoma, certain times of the year, springtime, also there could be problems in the autumn time of tornadoes. And I have a weather band radio that has an alarm on it. And if I have that radio connected to electricity, even if it's off, if there's a threat, that alarm will start. And it gives advice in certain areas that there is potentials of problems. Warning. And they'll say, it's a recording, but it'll say, take cover. And maybe people take the warning. Maybe they don't. That's up to the individuals. Also, if you go to a store, you've had some problems with ants or, well, sometimes people have roach problems and different kinds of insects that is undesirable. You can go there and buy a can of Raid. And on that can, it may say the different kind of bugs that it will, insects that it will kill. But also there's a caution. Yes. To keep out of the reach of children. A warning that this product, that it kills bugs, unwanted things, but your children, keep it out of their reach. Also, many people are addicted to nicotine, tobacco, and it's quite an expensive addiction, and they're required to give a warning. And I have the warning that has been given by the Surgeon General. Smoking causes lung cancer, heart disease, emphysema, and may complicate pregnancy. So, this warning is given to people that are potentially, if they buy this product, putting themselves in danger. of having cancer, heart disease. The warning's out there. The Surgeon General has did his job in proclaiming the warning. It's up to the individuals whether they take the warning or not. There are, I live on the property of the Golden Rule home, and there are people who had been addicted to cigarettes, and even when the weather is not warm, they will still get outside and take their smokes. They perhaps have had the warning, but still, they don't take heed. Yes. In today's world, it is good for parents to give warning to their children. More than just, don't touch the hot stove, burn. More than just the warning, don't get in a car with someone you do not know. Strangers. That's good. But what about the warning of the children of the hazards of getting addicted to games? Violent games. Or the habit of telling lies or whatever. Giving warning. And how many people would have been spared of heartache and hardships that had heeded the warning of someone and not married an individual that ended up in tragedy. So warnings are very important. In Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, a father is warning his son about a certain kind of woman. And 3rd chapter of Proverbs. If you get it, you can read it. Start at the first verse. We'll get it here.
My son.
Yes.
Forget not my law.
3rd chapter.
3rd chapter of Proverbs.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Go ahead.
Let thine heart keep my commandments.
Yes.
For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee.
Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man.
Now that is good, but the 5th chapter is where he warns against the particular type of woman. My son, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. For the lips of a strange woman drop as honeycombs, and her mouth is smoother than oil. But her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life. Her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her. This is a warning. Just stay clear of this type of a woman and come not nigh the door of her house. So, again we state that warnings are given because there is a love for an individual that they would not fall in to things that would be destructive and detrimental to their life and to their eternity. So, parents have a very key critical role in advising and warning their children against certain things. I was recently asked someone about a request, and their request was for a 15-year-old boy that was addicted to games. He didn't want to do his homework, and it was just something that has captivated his attention, and it's a power that gets a hold of people, and it's not good. So the warnings given by parents can be because they love that child, and they want that child to succeed in life and to make heaven if they're godly parents. Well, there's different ways of warnings. God chose to allow a dream come to a man who was a king. And this king's name was Nebuchadnezzar. And his reign was very prosperous in a way. He had influence. He had what would have been considered a great kingdom. But he was proud. And he was very proud of his accomplishments. So God gave him this dream about a tree that was very, very gigantically tall. And the tree represented him. And as he had this dream given to him, and after it profoundly affected him, he wanted to know what the meaning was. And so there was a man of God, Daniel, who was able to come to him and explain what the dream meant. And it was a dream that was a warning unto him. And it tells about this dream in the dream that was given Daniel 4, the fourth chapter of Daniel. And it's a very serious dream that he had. And so in this dream, it says in the 22nd verse of the fourth chapter of Daniel, "It is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong. For thy greatness is grown and reaches unto the heavens, and thy dominion to the ends of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and holy one coming down from heaven and saying, here the tree, hewn the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew, and the beast of the field shall seven times pass over it. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon thee, Lord the King, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee till thou knowest that he, the Most High, ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they command to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Whereas, O king, let my counsel be acceptable, unto thee, and break off thy sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by shewing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. So here is this king, very exalted in his own opinion of himself, but a warning through this dream of what the future would hold for him if he didn't stop sinning. And so the warning was given to him. It was left to him what he would do. Would he take the counsel of Daniel, or would he continue on in the mode of life that he had been living? It perhaps at first had a profound impact upon him. But days passed, weeks passed, months passed. Nothing happened. Perhaps the warning faded from his mind. One day, he was admiring what he felt like he had accomplished, and his reasoning, he went insane. They took him to a field where this man who had felt so self-sufficient, this is my kingdom that I have built. And now, instead of eating whatever kind of gourmet food he perhaps had been used to. He was eating grass. His mind was not able to rationally think, to perform and give orders as a king would do. Perhaps children would see the king out there. They'd say, let's give him some grass. Let us let him eat some grass. He ate grass. He was so far beyond the rationality of a sound mind that he ate grass. He was beastly like, and it was a time where he did not think as a human being. And this went on year after year. Finally, God allowed his reasoning to come back to him. And he actually went back and was able to perform as a king. But the warning, had it been taken, how much difference it would have been in his life story. But the warning was left unheeded. Today, the responsibilities of ministers, of watchmen on the wall, that love the congregations and the people they minister to, God at times can give them warnings. Was it Ezekiel that was told to warn the righteous that they sin not? So, godly ministers, though the warnings they give out may not be appreciated or accepted, but still the responsibility lays upon them to do it. And if they don't do it, the blood can be upon their hands. So it's very serious being in the position of being a minister. If God gives warnings to give to that congregation, as in the Revelation letter, third chapter of Revelation, there was a letter sent to the minister of the congregation, and it was a message of warning in the second chapter of Revelation. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, said he that holdeth the seven stars, to in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works and thy labors and the patience and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and has found them liars, and has borne and has patience, and for my name sake has labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of the place, except ye repent. Now, here is a love letter, really, to this congregation. And it's from Jesus. And he is giving them a warning. He has told them that they have left their first love. And his warning is, unless you do what I ask you to do, I'm going to come and remove your candlestick. So, it was up to them. They had failed to retain the love that they had once had. Their love that had been perhaps passionate, fervent, burning, love for God. A love, a passion that had waned away, and they were separated from that love. Operating, but not because of love. Serious. Very serious. A parent can require their child to come to church, and they can come, but that don't mean that they're coming because they love to come. So these members of this congregation were going through different facets without the love of God in their heart. Yes. They were void of that love. And God knew it. Folks, it is so important that we do what we do because we love God. It won't satisfy Him or please Him to just do it merely because of duty or whatever the reason might be. Absent of that love is not acceptable. So, and you know the enemy is very successful in robbing individuals of that love. I lived at a place where they had an apricot tree. And the birds would come and peck the fruit. The enemy is a devourer. Yes. And he is out to rob you of your love for God. Yes. He is out to want to cause you to blame him for your troubles. In the case of Job, the enemy took the challenge of turning Job against God and causing him to lose his integrity with God. And he predicted, Job will curse you. He will curse you if you take away the things that he has as assets in his life. And instead, and he got busy. Job's children was killed in what I would call a tornado. His servants were killed in different ways. He lost his assets in the cattle, the oxen. And instead of Job cursing God like the enemy wanted him to do and had predicted, he said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He further predicted if he did such and such that he would curse God. And so he started afflicting him with boils on the bottom of his feet all the way up to the top of his head. Poor Job had to walk on boils, sit on them, lay on them. They were covered. And his wife lost faith. Perhaps those boils smelled the corruption that come from them. And she said to him, she also turned against him and said, why don't you curse God and die? But instead of cursing God, Job held to his integrity with God. So the enemy is out to get you to think God is not fair with you or causing you trouble. And what's happened to you is because of God. That is something that can cool off and cause people to lose their love for God by turning you against him through different happenings and circumstances that is unpleasant in your life. Beware. This congregation was in serious trouble with God. And their candlestick was going to be removed unless they repented and did what God asked them to do. So if you aren't in love with God today, you're in trouble spiritually. You're in trouble. If he isn't your passionate love for him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, you're in spiritual trouble. And he knows whether you do or not. He knew these people did not have the love for him that they had once had, and it did not please him. And in love, this letter was written to this congregation because God loved them and wanted to help them to be able to have that burning love again in their hearts. That's a good thing, too, about the warnings. If people are warned and they take the warnings, then the blessings come. In today's world, there's many things that can cause people spiritual trouble. In Mark, the 4th chapter, it tells about some types of soil. And really, it is dealing with the heart of individuals and what their problem is. And in one of the hearts was thorns. In the 4th chapter and in the 18th verse, it tells, "And these are they which are sown amongst thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things, entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful." The cares of life. I heard here a while back of an individual that was working 20 hours a day. That is too much. 20 hours a day. You have to have a certain amount of time to eat, and your body needs sleep. And 20 hours of work is too much work. Your body is not built for that type of lifestyle. 20 hours a day. One individual was working 3 jobs. 3 different jobs or 3 different places. How can a person that kind of a lifestyle have enough time to have quality time with God? We live in a fast-paced society. Cars that will go faster than the law permits. Fast pace. They have, in California and other places, they call it In-N-Out Burgers. Well, it isn't actually that fast. Sometime when there's a string of cars ahead of you, you order from the car, and then you drive up and get your order and go your way. In and out. Quick Trip. You see, people are so caught up in the cares and distractions and the material, temporal things of life that people in business know that. And the service station maybe tried to appeal to people, Quick Trip or Fast Stop or different things and that are speed. And you who have microwaves, and I do have one, have you ever wanted it to hurry? The microwave to hurry? So this warning here, the cares of life. It is going to take time to be holy. It's going to take effort to be holy. The warning is, don't have quick stop devotions. take time to talk to Jesus. It takes time to be holy. In that last final day, the things of the cares and snares of life will not be what's important. When you come down to those final heartbeats and breath, what's going to be important then? Have I taken time to be holy?
Yes.
Have I sought God as I should have? Am I ready? Am I prepared?
Yes.
That's what's going to be important at that time. And may God help us that each day that is what will be important to us as individuals, that we take time to keep our relationship with God in good, in very, very good shape.
Yes.
It takes effort, folks, to keep a fervent love for God.
Yes.
It takes effort to be holy and to take the proper amount of time and not be too overcharged with the cares of this life.
Yes.
There are duties and responsibilities of this mortal life, temporal things that require time and attention. But it should not be our priority.
Yes.
Take time to be holy. Take time to be in the services of God.
Yes.
It used to be that meetings, I believe, perhaps of a meeting being 3 weeks. Times have changed, hasn't it?
Yes.
And now, some places on Sunday nights, the lights are out. The doors are closed. What's happening? Is there any less need of assembling? So much more as the day approaches. The burning, fervent love of God will help people be able to have good church attendance.
Yes.
Football fanatics will sit out in the cold weather, rainy, snow on the ground, to see their team play. God loves consistency.
Yes, he does.
Suppose a young man lived a distance from someone that he was courting, and he writes a letter, and he says, "Oh, to see you, I would climb the highest mountain. And I would swim across the widest lake." But he closes and says, "If it's not raining, I'll see you Saturday." Can you see consistency or inconsistency? May God help that there will be a passion for assembling yourselves together, that there is legitimate reasons for not, but if it's possible, don't neglect the house of God. May God bless these thoughts today. Warnings, again I say, comes from the Word of God because God loves you and wants you to prosper spiritually. God loved this church, this congregation at Ephesus. That's why he sent the letter. He knew they didn't love him like they had once. And he wanted that rekindled in their hearts. And he sent the letter and gave the instruction. This is how you get back to being in my approval. And if you don't, then the candlestick's going to be removed. May God help each of us. He has different ways to warn people. And, of course, a universal warning is the end of time's coming. Yes. And there's a warning in our book to those, our hymnal here, to those who are not saved. And the warning again is given because of love. Yes. It's on page 459. Careless soul, why do you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation, all prepared to meet thy God? Why so thoughtless are you standing? I've been in services where young people perhaps were trying to distract their minds from the invitation to be saved. And they would talk, trying to divert. This is serious to do things like that. And, oh, prepare to meet thy God. Hear you not the invitation? Hear you not the earnest pleadings of your friends and that wish you well? And perhaps before tomorrow, you'll be called to meet your God. If you spurn the invitation till the Spirit shall depart, then you'll see your sad condition, unprepared to meet thy God. Careless soul, oh, heed the warning, for your life will soon be o'er. Oh, how sad to face the judgment, unprepared to meet thy God. We're told over in Peter, 2 Peter, how that the day of the Lord will come. That's a warning. That's a warning for all of us. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. It's going to be ending. Now we have time and eternity in existence. There was a time when there was only eternity in existence. But now we have time. They're separated. But the song says, I thought of the clashing of ages when time and eternity meet. Yes. Time and eternity is on a collision course. Yes. A collision course, time and eternity. We have them both. but they're headed towards each other. And when they meet, time will cease, and there'll only be eternity forever. The warning is, be prepared. Be prepared for that time when time and eternity meet. May God bless us all. Remember today, if you get a warning from someone you love, give it some consideration. Weigh it out. See if it's not good. If it's from your parents, minister, a dream, a young person in California was given a dream about hell. He took him to his mother's room and he was to have gotten saved. However God chooses to bring a warning to you, give it some consideration. My ministry hasn't always been this kind of a... I have had some serious messages at times, but not always. But today, the message on warning is serious. But may God bless. If there's anyone that has allowed the love of God to... If you lose any of it, it weakens you. Any loss of the love of God weakens you. Suppose you were in an airplane over the ocean coming from Hawaii to the United States, and there was 3 engines on this plane, and you heard the captain say, "We've lost power in one of our engines." Would that kind of make you wonder, are we going to make it? If you look out the window and see, all you can see is water. And you notice you're slowing down. And you're dropping, losing your elevation. And then he comes on, we've lost it in another. If you lose your love, it's going to affect other. And now he says, well, we're going to do our best to bring this safely in. But you notice there's more loss of power. Today, if you've lost any love, seek it. If you lost any peace, seek peace. If you lose some love, just a little, it just cools off a little, and it said the prediction was because iniquity would abound, the love of many would wax cold. And so today, if you lose any, if you've lost any, don't be satisfied. Seek God for renewal. May God bless these thoughts.